Welcome to the Courageous Nation podcast, where every week we have a meaningful conversation that inspires you to live courageously. I am your host, Lance Merrickey, and I am here with your life coaches, Mandy and Rachel from Big Blue Couch Coaching. Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
That was wow. Great. I was expecting you two to take the rain there.
We don't have any rains to take. Go.
It's so hot in this room. I think my thoughts are like
melting
away.
Yeah, you know how it's wintertime in North Dakota and it's cold in North Dakota and it comes upon really fast.
It is desert season in the podcast room.
Yeah, yes. It's like I think everyone's knee-jerk reaction is to just go to the heater and turn it way up, and then it gets really hot.
Yeah, I don't
hot,
know what happened.
Really
it is
hot.
Stifling hot in here. I've turned it down. It's not working. I came dressed for this. I knew it would be hot in here, so I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt.
I did not think ahead. I'm wearing a sweater with something underneath that I can't take. I can't take the sweater off. I was not thinking ahead. I could put that Lies and Labels t-shirt on, I guess, if
then
I
it would be
to,
sweaty
but...
and gross.
Well,
so don't do it.
I wore a sweater, but I could take it off, so I'm excited.
That's not a sweater.
I took it off.
Oh. The one sitting behind this chair.
Gotcha.
This is riveting stuff. People.
Yeah, so riveting. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about the speaking engagement, or should we just...
We're speaking at a youth convention.
Yeah.
For the Lutheran Youth Organization. So by the time this comes out, it will be over, but we're doing the Lies and Labels session that we do at the Beautiful Wholeness Conference. And we've done this in front of teenagers a couple times already.
Yep.
And it's always really well received. So this will be fun.
That is, that's awesome. Yeah,
right here in Bismarck on Friday.
It's like 250,
230, 250
like that. Kids that are going to be there. So we spent most of our morning packing our stuff for the speaking engagement, getting it into Mandy's car because I think we're both taking tomorrow off and resting.
Yes.
It has been a crazy busy week around here.
I have a really quick question. Do you find it harder to speak in front of adults or in front of teenagers? Or is it just the same?
It's kind
it
of the
not
same.
Not the same necessarily, but when you...
It
is
the same.
It
isn't. It's not the same.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. The difference is more in their reaction than it is in how how we speak in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I've spoken in front of kids by myself before, and that's kind of hard because then you can be really affected by their...
Lackadaisicalness.
Yes.
they look like they're not paying attention and that kind of stuff. And most of the time they are.
Yeah. So. I've had a couple people that are like the chaperones that I've known that hired us for things, and they tell us this is such good stuff, and I could tell that these kids really were just taking it all in because they were quiet.
Right. Right.
And so even though they stare at you like what? And they're not talking amongst themselves or whispering as much.
Right.
So there's that. But I think doing it together, I mean, they laugh.
We're funny people.
So
I think the first time we ever did it, I think it was a little bit more daunting for Mandy because I kind of had grown up talking in front of youth groups.
Yeah, and I had not.
Because from the time I was probably about 17 or 18, I was already talking in front of my youth group and in front of other youth groups and leading that kind of stuff. And you kind of get used to that like blank look on their face sometimes, or they're like laughing in the back or whatever. And not to take that personally. And not to take
But
that,
we
like,
get that blank exactly, look yeah. on
yep,
grown adults sometimes too. So
they don't take notes as much. And I think as coaches, sometimes you know if they're taking notes, they're really absorbing. But then we have to learn that not everybody takes notes anyway. It's just practice.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I enjoy it. I like speaking in front of teenagers. And I think it depends on what your content is, too, because you have to make it relevant to them at their level.
Yep. And we change it. We have a teen version of Lies and Labels, an adult version. I think the one thing that is the same is they respond to it no matter what age they are as far as Lies and Labels goes.
It's a very interactive
And we've done
session.
It with kids as young as 9 all the way up to 70s.
Yeah.
In their 70s. And it,
9
it does
years
not,
old? That's awesome.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So...
That's cool.
That is the same. The content, what they get from it, how they maybe respond to us in the audience can sometimes be a little bit different. But
I find that you have to be in the audience more. Like you have to be walking more in
not
the audience.
Standing behind a podium.
Yeah, so that you're a part of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's almost like they get scared. Like, oh no, they're like, I better pay attention because here she comes.
She's going to catch
like
me with
a
my
lecture.
Phone.
Like that's the last thing. And that's kind of something we try to do as well is not put across this whole, we come in here knowing more than you thing. Because I think that's something kids are more susceptible to. We don't want to give off that impression like, we are the experts and you were not, and we expect you to sit quietly. We do ask them questions. We ask them to interact. And so I think there is some major differences, but at the same time, the way the content works.
The fact that we still are stuck in certain fandoms ourselves helps it comes to this.
Well, any way you can be relatable, I think, is a good thing. And Big Blue Couch is generational. Which is awesome.
So there we go. We will come and speak to all ages.
That's awesome. I'm excited for you guys.
If you're looking for one.
I'm excited to hear how it goes.
We're here.
Yeah, that's so cool. So today we're already on episode 12, which is crazy. It's just been flying by this season.
That means there's only eight left.
There's only eight left of season two. So, wow. Crazy. This one is titled Heaven and Earth and the Beauty of Creation. And we're going to talk today about, obviously, the beauty of creation, which is awesome because here we believe in a powerful God and a God that created the heavens and the earth. The last couple of podcast episodes have been serious, which have been fun, and I like that. But now this is going to be a more lighthearted one, so I'm really excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Give deer you guys hunting, a little bit of a break.
Yeah, definitely. Deer hunting and hunting season is in full swing in North Dakota. Deer hunting's coming up. So my dad and I last week went scouting. And it was amazing. It was like 60 degrees outside, and we saw two owls that flew. One flew like right over our heads. It was amazing. We heard a coyote like howl, and then another one join him. We saw pheasants. We saw all kinds of just amazing wildlife. And it wasn't even...
Not to sound stupid, but coyotes howl during the day like that,
right?
Too?
No, I mean they do, but it's rare. That's why it was so amazing.
I didn't know that they did
like
that.
We were walking through this cornfield, and it literally like stopped us in our tracks as we heard it. It was so bizarre to have it in midday, hot outside. Yeah, it was so cool. So it got me thinking about this whole thing about enjoying the outdoors and enjoying God's creation. And so I wanted to ask you two, what are some of your favorite things about creation, Mandy?
Well, I think one of my favorite things about creation is the ocean. Which is funny because in North Dakota, you don't see it.
We're nowhere near one.
But
we're so far away from
one. Yeah, so far away. Every time I've gone to the ocean, I'm just in awe. It's like, it is the place I love to go on vacation. Like, I grew up going to, like, Disney World for vacations with my family, which was great. It was fun, but it was hardcore, not relaxing at all. We were at the theme parks from the moment, like even an hour before they opened, because we were like, we would stay at a Disney resort, which means we would get a pass to get there early.
Right. Oh,
so we would get to there early, stay late. I mean, we were there all day long
every day. Was it like itinerary style? Like,
a little bit, kind of. Not quite, but I mean, we knew which park we were going to, what day.
Danny Tanner and the Clipboard of Fun. Sort of.
I mean, that's how it was. And so I didn't grow up going on these calming vacations. And so what Nate and I love to do when we go on vacation is find a spot by the ocean. Mm-hmm. So
the exact opposite.
The exact opposite. And we do nothing. I bring books. Like, I don't want to do anything but sit by the ocean, read a book, eat great food.
Right.
That's what I want to do when I'm on vacation. And so I just love the ocean. I love the bigness of it, which is a little, there have been moments when we were on one of the islands on Hawaii. I think it was Kauai, actually, and it was one of the furthest out islands. So like when you're on Maui or Oahu, you can see the other islands around you. Where we were on Kauai, we could not see anything but ocean.
Whoa.
And that was scary. It was like, oh my goodness, if a tsunami comes, where are we going to go? And even like going on a cruise, it's that same thing. When all you can see is ocean, it's calming to me when I'm on the beach, not so much when I'm on a boat. But I just love it because it's like you sense the bigness of God. Like, wow.
Yeah.
This ocean, here I am, tiny little me, by this vast body of water that God created. And so I love that. But since we're in North Dakota and we don't get to the ocean that much right now, I really love the mornings where there's a beautiful sunrise. I love to sit with my coffee. this is when I am a morning person. So Monday morning,
like
this
when
week.
When the sun comes up at 8, this is when we're morning people.
Yeah. Yes. This week, my husband went to work early, so I woke up with him on Monday morning at 5:30, and it was a really long day for me because we coached until like 10:30 at night. And so I was up really super early, and I rearranged my schedule so that I was at home working from home for a while. But what I did is I sat in my reading chair in the living room, and I was reading and enjoying coffee, and I was enjoying just the beautiful like sunrise as it was coming up. And not that I have a great view of it, but just the way that the sky changes in the trees, mm-hmm. like the shadows around the trees change yep. as it gets lighter out. I mean, I think you can find simple things in creation,
totally.
Like even
yeah.
the color of the leaves mm-hmm. in the fall. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my long-winded answers of things that I really enjoy about creation.
That's awesome, though. I really, we have family who lives in Colorado. So Rachel and I have been able to go back and forth to Colorado a lot. And I love the mountains there.
They're beautiful.
Yeah, and there's something, I can't even explain it, there's something spiritual mm-hmm, about mm-hmm. it where it just like stirs your soul a little
yeah.
bit. And our cousin got married up there, and where he got married was just this beautiful place in this cabin, and it had an awesome little brook that ran through it. And just
were you up in Estes Park?
Oh, I can't remember.
Does that sound familiar, though? But maybe not.
It does sound familiar.
Because Estes like Park that, has though. Lots of places where people, like cabin areas for people to get married, and it has the cutest little Starbucks with a cobblestone.
It sounds familiar, but I don't think it was it. But it has that same,
similar.
Yeah, where it's just
with a little stream
yes,
running through it.
And
yeah.
you could just picture yourself being there forever. It's just like, this is so wonderful. And I love that. And I feel like there's that towards the ocean, too, where there's mm-hmm. that spiritual calling of the mm-hmm. ocean, and you're just like, awesome.
The bigness of God.
The bigness, yeah.
yeah.
Rachel, what about you?
Okay, so some of my favorite things about creation. So I think right now I'm in my most favorite season of creation. And not everybody gets to experience fall the same way that we do in the Midwest or even in, like, you know, the eastern part of the state. They have a whole, you know, season where it's like tourist
wind.
Season
yeah.
because it's so beautiful out there. But we actually experience very similar coloring and all of that with the leaves changing here in North Dakota, too. And I don't know if it's just I'm awake more this fall or what, but I have so been enjoying how much red I am seeing in the colors mm-hmm. that are changing. And
it's beautiful.
We planted a maple tree in our front yard for the only reason that when fall would come, we got like it's called a fire or something. When fall would come, it would turn that bright red color, not like that kind of mm-hmm. muted red color. And this is the first year that it's old enough to start changing.
Ooh.
And it's not quite as bright as it's going to be as it keeps growing. But it's been so cool to watch that, because last year I complained all fall that I'm like, we bought a dud. Like, I'm just going to have an ugly green tree in the front of our house. I'm like, we got to dig it up. And Brenda's like, would you give it a chance to grow? So
yeah,
for
Rachel,
me,
don't stomp on your sprouts.
Like, let's just dig it up. It's clearly dead.
Clearly not
it's
working.
Dead. It's dead. Just start over. But I think one of the things that has been happening a lot this year, and I think it's because my kids are getting older, so it's making me realize it more too. They're starting to notice the leaves that are changing. They're starting to notice the colors, and they're starting to notice some of this other stuff that's going on in the fall. And I love the metaphor spiritually that you see in the fall time mm-hmm. about this beautiful beauty that happens, but really it's a dying process
mm-hmm. yep.
that is going on. And, you know, they're turning color because they're literally running out of food and dying.
Mm-hmm.
And we see all of this beauty in changing seasons, in things going out of your life, in things that are dying off. And I just love fall for that reason.
Yeah.
And I don't get that feeling as much in spring. I don't mm-hmm. think for me, like, the beauty of, you know, new things is great, but for some reason, you know, I'm a little bit pessimistic
fall.
And I'm a little bit more like, you know,
you're a little dark
to the
and
dark side. I'm like, what is this beautiful dying process? But it is.
It
yeah.
is and
no,
gorgeous.
It definitely is.
Is
yeah.
that the kind of tree that's in our courtyard area, a maple tree?
I think
it's been really red this year, but
mm-hmm.
last year we didn't really have a fall. It just went from like hot to
right.
cold.
And
yeah.
that also depends, mm-hmm. yeah, on whether or not, because it takes a while for that color to actually
yeah.
happen.
I don't think I've ever seen the leaves in our courtyard that as reddish orange as they are this year.
Yes. Okay. So I thought it was just me, and Brandon was saying something about it too, that it depends on the year. It depends on the soil. It kind of depends on
doesn't mean it's
fall.
A dud.
Yeah, apparently not.
Depends on a lot of things, Rachel.
So I was like, what? What's the matter with my tree? This is the only reason I bought a maple tree. But yeah, I think for me,
it's your perspective. That's wrong with your tree.
Yeah, apparently. I love the ocean and I love being outdoors. And we grew up as a family camping and doing all that stuff. We did not grow up at theme parks. We did not grow up doing any of that kind of stuff. We grew up going camping and being outdoors and all of that kind of stuff. And so I've always appreciated God's creation that way. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the thing that relates most to God for me is this process of fall and watching this happen.
That's cool. I put down Psalms 139:14 in our notes, and it says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And when it's been about 2.5 years or so since Madison was in nursing school. When my wife Madison was in nursing school, I was in medical coding school. So we actually had biology at the same time. Now mine was way like the fifth grade level of biology and Madison's was like, you know, the doctorate level. But we still had cool things that we could compare. And we were like talking about the eye and how great our human eye is. And then our heart. Mm-hmm. Our heart is like the coolest thing ever because it creates its own electric impulse to beat. There's nothing like, we don't do anything to keep ourselves alive. I mean, I know there's people out there with pacemakers, which is cool. But the fact that we have this heart that's beating and it's perfectly regulating our blood, our bad blood and our good blood, I was like, that is so amazing how us as creation is created in such a perfect way and how this Psalms comes to light. And I just wanted to talk about just how amazing our human body is. And that, along with the mountains, are two of my favorite things. But what I wanted to ask you two I'm freaking out with my prepositions
back up.
Here. I wanted to ask you, what are some of the favorite things that you have personally created? I think when you feel like you want to create something, whether you're a carpenter or a sculptor or even just a painter, that's you have the heart of God in you to create. And I think both of you have that. So what are some things, Rachel, that you've created that you are proud of and enjoyed?
I love the fact that we have a creative God. And I love the fact that he gives us that same creativity in each one of us. And I love how individual it is because you don't have to be a painter or a singer or, you know, a musician to be creative. We are all creative in our own ways when we tap into it. And I think for me, I've talked about this before in other things where when I'm going through, you know, seasons where my mental health isn't so great, that is the first thing that goes is anything creative in my life. Mm. I stop playing music. I stop having music in my house, like even just playing, you know, songs on YouTube or on the radio or whatever. I stop doing the things that make my home creative. And I think for me, my favorite thing that things that I personally created. I think for me, one of the things that I love to do, which sounds kind of stupid, is rearrange my house. And I used to do it as a way, I don't think I ever realized before that I would do it at times when my life was so chaotic that it was actually calming me because it was, you know, a systematic thing that I would do and I would kind of create calm out of chaos because I would literally tear a room apart and then start over and create something beautiful out of it. And it used to be a running family joke that I would do this all the time. But looking back now into those seasons, I think that's how I survived a lot of those really dark years was by rearranging a lot. Mm-hmm. And we had a pastor when we lived in Dickinson that we always knew that it was a sermon that God was really talking to him about when we would come in on Sunday morning and the chairs were all rearranged.
Yeah.
Because that's what he would do. When he would be stuck in his creative process, he would go and rearrange the sanctuary.
Yeah.
And I was like, I do that. So
That's funny.
I think for me.
Those are great messages, though.
Yeah. I mean, we always knew.
I always wondered why it looked different every time I went to your church in Dickinson.
It did.
Every time the chairs were different.
Like me. That's how he worked through things, was by, you know, recreating your environment. And I think, I don't really create new things on the piano. I'm not really that kind of a player where, you know, I sit down and create my own music. But I think of all the gifts that I have creatively, the gift to write and all those other mm-hmm. ones, I think music is still probably one of my favorites because that's the one that speaks most to my soul. If I've got something I'm going through and I just start playing at the piano, usually I'm crying within a couple mm-hmm. of moments, which is why I avoided it. There was probably almost a 2-year time where I didn't sit at the piano at all.
Wow.
And
it's probably the longest since sixth grade,
rearranged my furniture every month, but I wouldn't sit down at the piano because there were certain things creatively I had to do to, like, live through that time, but other ones that were too deep into my soul and I couldn't
mm-hmm.
I couldn't grab them. So I think music and what my environment looks like in my home is my favorite creative things that I do.
Didn't one time we end up with a yellow combination of living room and kitchen, though?
See, sometimes the creative process isn't great when you're going through sadness because you make rash decisions and then you end up with like day glow yellow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Living room slash kitchen.
Sometimes they weren't great.
No.
But, you know.
Mandy, how about you?
This is fascinating to me because when we lived in Fargo, before I started tapping into the real creative things that I had been afraid to do,
mm-hmm.
I would rearrange our living room all the time, too. And Nate hated it.
Yeah.
Because it would take me all day.
Brandon hated it, too.
And I'd usually end up where I started because there was only one option
right.
to do in this small little living room. So I would just rearrange everything and rearrange it slightly, but it took me all day. And Nate hated that. But I think that's funny because I used to do that, too. I don't anymore, though, because my favorite thing that I've created is this company, really, and all the things we get to do
me
here.
Too. I didn't even think of that. I'm stealing that answer.
Like, for
I
real.
I still like yours, though.
Yeah,
Rachel.
I know. Yours wasn't bad. Good job.
Though, honestly, when it comes right down to it, I think this was your creative outlet first.
Yes.
This company was kind of, I mean, we created it together.
It usually still is. What happened last night? I gave you an idea and you're like, that won't work.
Uh-huh.
And then 20 minutes later, I get a text message. It will work. I Googled it. Oh, my word.
Sometimes I have to do research before I get.
Yeah, that helps.
You know, that's my personality. She knows that now. So she doesn't
like, whatever. She'll come around.
That's not
going to
work.
Yeah. Okay. It, you come by it honestly. I mean, I know a couple other people in your family who do the same thing. but I really, for real, the my favorite thing that I've created, it's hard for me to pick just one because I've written, mm-hmm. I don't even, 3 books now
mm-hmm.
and helping create like, well, 4 if you count the journal we've done together and then creating the book covers and creating all the things we do here. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's, so it's hard for me to pick just one. But if I had to, I'd probably say my book, She Who Overcomes, because that was the most challenging thing for me to write. It was the first time I put 50-some thousand words in a book.
Mm.
My first book was like 24,000
mm-hmm.
words. I don't even know what's in that thing anymore.
We call it The Prodigal.
We call it The Prodigal. It was the first one. It's kind of a reject now, but
still love
Are we talking about In Sickness and Health?
Yeah.
I like that book.
Well, we're just talking about
you can read it fast and it's a good message.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah,
man.
We don't sell it here.
Well, you know, you love The Prodigals, too, but they don't exactly fit into what you're doing
right
now. And they
true.
Have to kind of come around to themselves. And so we have a couple of products.
So we'll give them away. We have some that we can give away. But
if you're reading it right now, though, keep reading.
You can
it's
get it on
book.
Amazon. I mean, it's a good place to start.
It's just how we as their creators.
Yeah. As the creator, I feel like I've grown.
It wasn't your best creation?
Was not. No. Because even like my CD and the music that I create, I think I create it more for me than for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've written a lot of songs since my first CD that I recorded and I thought I was going to record them and it turns out I'm not. So I think some of that I just do for me and God and
mm-hmm.
maybe a few people to encourage around me. But, I love the creative process. And I think when we aren't tapping into the creativity that God wants us to unleash upon the world, we do bring it out in ways like rearranging the mm-hmm. living room,
mm-hmm.
putting things in binders, like, which is funny now because everything we do here starts in a binder so that we right. don't lose it. But I did that back when I was an event specialist in a hotel. I would create binders to organize things. And I would create binders as a property manager to organize things. And I would just create binders to organize things. And I just loved these binders that I created. But I wasn't creating the things that, like, I was stifling
mm-hmm.
the creativity that God really put in me mm-hmm. to share with the world. So I think creativity comes out in so many different ways. And definitely, when we're avoiding it, mm-hmm. it comes out in really fascinating ways.
And I think people have this need to avoid it because they think other people are going to judge them for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you just love to make furniture, but you're like, I don't know, people might not think that's cool, then you're going to, like, stifle that.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many teenagers I've run into who like to write comics or like to draw comics or anything that, you know, it might be considered not cool because you can't make money doing it. And I encourage them all the time. It's like, no, keep that's in you for a reason. Like, keep going.
Even
that's
if you never
good.
Make money, that mm-hmm. is part of your soul. There's exactly. been times where I was so scared that I was going to lose my musical talent because it had been so long mm-hmm. since I touched it that I was like, oh, man, what if I completely, like, messed up here by not touching the piano? Thankfully, mm-hmm. I didn't. I was a little rusty for a while there. I clearly needed some practice. But I think we get this idea when we're young that somehow we have to figure out how to make a business out of our creativity. Mm. And sometimes people can. Sometimes that totally is your calling. It's your mm-hmm. your thing you're going to make money from. But I think we forget then as adults that when that turns out not to be necessarily our bread and butter, we don't think we need it anymore.
Yeah. Right?
Like, we suddenly grew out of it or something. And I think that's so cool. I think this whole idea of journaling and the art thing or the... What am I thinking?
The coloring?
There you go.
Yeah, adult coloring.
The adult coloring books. Yep. That thing went crazy stifle that mm-hmm. creativity that we've been born with as little children.
And yes, here you exactly. thought colored pens wasn't going to make it in this podcast.
You think about, and what's so crazy about the adult coloring book is I came home from work last night and Madison was watching a show coloring.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
What's amazing is when you think about it, how awesome was that when you were a little kid? And of course it's going to be something as an adult that you're going to be like, oh, yeah, because even when Mason and your kids, when mm-hmm. Claire was starting to color, it was fun for me to get down mm-hmm. and, like, color again. And it's so relaxing, too. It's crazy how relaxing it is.
Well, and my kids, surprises me a little bit, but my kids like to sit and watch me color in my, like, they all kind of have their own versions. My kids were doing artwork, like, way above their levels at like 2 and 3 years old. And so they outgrew color books pretty quickly. And so we had to, thankfully it was about the same time that this adult coloring book thing was happening because even my son, when he was about four or five, he wanted an adult coloring book because he did not like the patterns and the things that they were too babyish and his other things. But they love to watch me and they love to watch me pick which one I'm going to do and which colors I'm going to do. And they actually sit and watch me do this. And sometimes I'm like, this is my quiet time. Yeah. Please go find something.
Do they ask you questions or do they
do? And then they want to see, are you going to color it all today? Cause sometimes, you know, you can't finish it all in one day. And then they like to sit and look at, I have one book that I'm using right now. And then they like to sit and look and see what mama was doing. And so I think that's kind of cool too. Like we forget that this creative process is other people are actually watching it and it inspires their creativity.
Definitely.
And we see that on the job here all the time.
Yes.
One person's creative idea can inspire this whole huge thing that happens. And I love the creative process. I think
I
it's
too.
One of my most favorite things is the creative process. And I was just telling Brandon the other day, we have been kind of redoing some things in our house for probably about 6 months now that we've started some different projects in our house. And I texted him and I said, we're getting into the fall season and there's a lot of chaos happening in every room in this house. We're going to need to pick a project when you're home again and finish it because I need one room that's done. And so he goes, oh, are you? And he goes, I didn't know the depression was back. I said, it isn't. But I know already that if we're moving into the season that I start getting triggers and everything around me is chaotic, I'm going to have a hard time. He's like, oh, okay. And I think we just forget that some of these small things actually, I need a peaceful place to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I would never have known that back then, which is probably what I was trying to accomplish, rearranging my living room 300 times, is trying to find that peace in the chaos. And so I'm really excited.
Yeah.
We're going to be actually finishing a project when Brandon comes
home. That brings up a really interesting thought that just flew through my head. When we are not peaceful on the inside, when we're chaotic on the inside, it's hard to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and which the creativity process is chaotic.
Yes.
I mean, when you think about
it, there needs to be some chaos.
There needs to be some chaos to make sense of it. But I feel like when we are stifling that creativity because we are so filled with pain or sadness or fear or unhappiness inside of us, and we don't give ourselves the permission to tap into that and really look at it so that, you know, lean into that discomfort so that we can overcome it. It's hard to be creative when we stifle that.
It is. And definitely. I think for me, what I've noticed is the creative process helps me heal faster than anything else does.
Yes, we were talking about that last night in the Unbroken coaching experience because we were talking about writing or something. I don't remember.
We're talking about journaling.
Journaling. Yep. And how.
And gratitude lists. I think
yes, gratitude lists and journaling. And writing is how I make sense of my pain, whether it's writing music or just writing in my journal in general. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's been forever. Like, I can't remember a time when I didn't. And sometimes I can't write anything too deep, so I'll write gratitude lists with colored pens, and like I literally do like every other color, or I make it look like a pattern.
Right.
Even though I'm not journaling anything deep, it's still helping me get stuff out.
Right.
Because I get to do it with color and with words and be creative while I'm just doing a task that seems meaningless, but it's not. And so writing has always been what I go to make sense of my pain. I did that the day of the fire. Like, I can even see the journal entry I had the night the fire started. And I went and bought a new Bible and a new journal. And I had colored pens from work because we were living at the hotel I worked at.
Right.
And brown. Like, that was the first word on the page of my new life after the fire is brown.
Which is so funny because I call it my brown period now, too. Yeah. I had no idea we were walking through brown periods together, but...
But I had a Picasso period.
Yeah, you did.
Because after I was so sick, I had to get that creativity out, and I couldn't really read my Bible. I couldn't really talk to God because I was let down and just sad about some stuff that didn't turn out the way I thought it should. And during that period, I dove headfirst back into painting because I used to paint with my grandma all the time and when I was a kid. And so I went to Hobby Lobby and I bought all these canvases that were blank and I just did abstract painting.
That's awesome.
I mean, and I had words. I had stickers that I would do. Like, after the paint dried, I'd put the sticker on and do a different coat, a different color and all this stuff. And some of them are in my bathroom now.
You had decoupage stage.
I did, yeah.
Decoupage. She was painting the inside of jars with sticks.
I was painting, yeah.
Wow, awesome.
Apparently brushes is just too easy. I don't know. I mean, it was just like, paint all the things. And now I'm kind of like over it. But that, I mean, you have to. Creativity helps heal.
Mm-hmm. Well, totally. And there's a whole part of counseling and therapy. It's called art therapy. And that's what it is for
a reason, is
taking these things that are seemingly simple, but they help you process this deep, deep pain, this deep, deep emotions. And I think we forget that because God is creative, He created us to be creative. We can use that in so many different ways. When times are good, when times are bad, enjoying, getting out in His creation is healing just in and of itself,
definitely.
Spending time outside. So
that's awesome. So I want to encourage you then, if you are in kind of a stuck season, think about things that you are passionate about creating and go do it. Even if it's painting jars with sticks. Like,
I recommend a brush. Yeah, it's much easier.
I mean, anything that you can get a creative outlet is awesome. Or like Rachel just said, go out in creation. Like I was able to do with my dad. Like, just go out and find it because it's there and it's beautiful. And we just want to encourage you to do that. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode and the topic we discussed, if you could just give us a rate on iTunes, maybe even just give us a hello on Facebook, that would be awesome. That way more people can get this content. So until next time, let's rise up and build a courageous nation together.